Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Saturday edition of the show here.
The Velcom.
The what?
I said Velcom.
Velcom, yes.
The W, you pronounce it as a V. You know, like in some foreign languages.
Yes, comrade. Welcome to the program here. The phones are open. If you want to join us on this live Saturday show, the number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Here in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
Ooh,
let me try that again, Peakless.
The censored Peakless Mountaineer.
Now we have you.
The also censored Captain Kickass is here. I only say that because the FCC censors it.
That is true.
That's true.
That is true. Until 10:30 tonight, right. Eastern Time, when
FCC, yeah.
Feared Talk Live will be no longer under control. Never has been under the control of the FCC.
We have instituted now something called. So we have this thing on Beer Talk Live called the Amble.
And, oh, is this the George Carlin
the
thing?
The seven words, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we devised something now that we do before that.
A preamble.
Called the preamble.
Preamble. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So before we amble, we must preamble.
Okay.
I can't
I've heard
tell
the
you,
amble. I don't know what the preamble is.
I can't tell you what it is here on the
new.
Air.
Is it new?
Yeah, it's as
it's
of
new. It's
last
brand
week
new as
something.
Of last week.
Okay,
yeah.
That's why I haven't heard it.
So we just added it last week. So
okay,
yeah,
cool.
We're excited about the preamble.
All right,
and
so
we'd tell you all about it, but we'd go to jail.
Okay.
Probably not going to go to jail, but,
no, but like
get kicked off the radio station.
Yeah, our affiliates wouldn't appreciate it. So
that's tonight at 10:30 Eastern. It'll only be on our video streaming platforms, one of which is Odyssey. And you can view us there over at watch.freetalklive.com, which takes us into our first topic here tonight. It was, I think, Thursday night that I briefly was able to address what had happened with the library case with the SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, going after libraries.
What is a security? What is an exchange?
Don't
what
ask
is a
me.
Token? What is it? Yeah.
Apparently, according to
we've
them,
made it very clear.
Everything is a security. As long as they want it to be.
Yeah.
That seems to be what it is.
It's so dumb.
Although there was a kind of a split ruling in the Ripple case. We want to get into that coming up here in a moment. But there's two big SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, cases that have been kind of and the on the end stages.
Yeah.
So the Ripple ruling just came out. That's not over yet because they have to go through the final judgment
right.
phase, which is what just happened to Library. So Library had their ruling, I think it was at the end of last year, and now here we are, you know, 7 months later, or 8 months later, and they finally have the final judgment. So, I mean, the gears of the so-called justice system turn very, very slowly. They turn very, very brutally. Library is a company that created amazing software that we've used here on Free Talk Live for years that allows anybody to essentially upload whatever media that you want. Could be video, could be audio, could be PDF files, you know, whatever.
Library is still my primary source of video media.
Right, and hopefully it will continue to be, even though the Library Corporation is going to be destroyed.
Please become a DAO. Please become a DAO. Please
that
become
is a
DAO.
Decentralized, autonomous organization. I hope that happens as well. I don't know, you know, when we're going to hear an announcement about that. I have reached out to Jeremy Kaufman, the CEO
yeah.
of Library, and he's willing to come talk. He's talked with us before about the case, and he needs a week, though.
I
so.
Mentioned something on a Twitter post that Library made, and I said, "You have y'all thought about becoming a DAO? There's probably precedent. There's probably mentorship that you could find.
There's
other
a lot of software now.
Other organizations yeah. have become DAOs, so, like, it's not like you'd be blazing the trail.
Right, yeah, it works for Shapeshift.
Yeah.
Which was a centralized corporation.
I would think that somebody like Voorhees could mm-hmm. connect with Kaufman and
yeah,
they could
so.
Work
They're
out
both free staters.
Some way to, you know, to help, you know, make that go.
Right. And you're referring to Shapeshift, which yeah. for a little bit of history, early on there was Shapeshift was kind of the first of its kind. It was a website, still a centralized system, but it was a way to exchange one cryptocurrency, say Bitcoin, for another, say Dash or something, and it would allow you to do that without having an account. And that was the kind of the big deal with Shapeshift, because normally you'd have to sign up for an exchange and you have to show your ID and jump through all these know your customer hoops, and Shapeshift was a way to avoid that. And then what happened a few years later was some kind of pressure got put on the Shapeshift guys. Eric Voorhees is their was their CEO. Yep. And he never really spoke about what that was. It was just sort of an unspoken, this is happening, now we have to do know your customer procedures at Shapeshift. It basically killed a good portion of their business.
Yeah, because of the government monkey dance. When that happened, I was in Washington State. And I could no longer access Shapeshift, the website, through regular web browsing because your IPs give away your geographic location.
Oh, yeah, Washington was one of the two states they blocked.
Right, Washington, New York, I think, was the other
one. Yeah, that's right. Yep.
And so I could no longer, and it really, I'm trying not to use the wrong words here, it upset me because Shapeshift, I had purchased my first hardware wallet, which was a KeepKey, and Shapeshift bought KeepKey.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, when you plug your KeepKey in and try to get on just into your wallet, it's connected with Shapeshift, and it's like, oh, you got a KYC. And I'm like, no, 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 no. I didn't have to KYC when I bought this piece of hardware, so I shouldn't have to KYC to get my data off this piece of hardware. I had to send a thing to their customer service, you know, but you got to provide a way for this to happen. I had to be, you know, sort of a Karen about it.
Yep.
They finally provided a method for the users who got their KeepKey before Shapeshift purchased them a way to get your money off of that. And so I did. I moved it, and I got a Trezor instead. And then later on, years later, they're like, oh, okay, now we've figured it out, and you don't have to KYC for your KeepKey anymore.
Okay.
So it would have been okay if I just sat on my hardware wallet for like three
years,
whatever it was. So at any rate, it was a whole bunch of hoops to jump through, but it certainly affected me personally when they had to go through this stuff. Now, I'm a tech guy, and I figured out pretty quick that, oh, just use a VPN, bro, and you could get to the Shapeshift site. So you could still conduct business on the Shapeshift site for some period of time, but I just didn't like the fact that here's a free stater, a CEO of a tech company who professes to be libertarian, but yet he's cowing down to the powers that be.
I mean, you can't blame somebody like that. I understand the frustration,
but
who wants to go to prison for this?
Right, I get it from his perspective. He doesn't want to dance with the devil,
right?
And I don't blame him from that perspective, but as a consumer...
Well, he is dancing with the devil
Oh, come on, dude. Like, can't you like take it offshore, or, you know, there's other options. And so eventually he did do the thing, which was turn it into a decentralized autonomous organization.
Yeah, I think that was like 2 years ago now, maybe 2021, summer of 2021, if I recall correctly. I've been following their emails for some time.
Yeah.
And I was really happy to hear when they did that, because it really hurt their business when they went to know your customer.
They certainly lost my business.
Yeah, it was a huge factor in why people chose them, was because you didn't have to identify yourself.
Right.
You could just go, show up, put the coins in that you didn't want, get the coins out that you did want, and all you had to give them was your wallet address that you wanted the other coins deposited to. And that was it.
And you have to pay a little fee to exchange.
Of course.
Outside of that, yeah.
Before the idea of a decentralized, this was pre-decentralized exchange. So it was still going through wherever their server was located. And I know that they did do something about moving to Switzerland at some point, that they were incorporated there or something.
Yeah, they did move some hardware
but
off.
He was physically, I think, still living in Colorado, so they could still get him, you know. And, of course, the U.S. government can get people all around the world. I mean, there's only so many places. Russia's one of them where you are actually insulated from being snatched up by some goon squad doing the United States dirty work.
Yeah, askhim.com.
Right. Well, he's actually still, I think, fighting extradition in that particular
case.
Yeah,
but I mean, the goons swatted his house,
they
basically.
Did. Yep. So anyway, the Shapeshift thing seems to have been successful. I mean, I don't know how you measure those metrics, and I have not paid close enough attention to really be able to say. But I think I've seen some interviews with him.
Well,
post-
hey, it exists.
It's still there,
It exists.
And it has no board of directors now, and it has no corporate entity.
And no one can take it down. So to me, that's a win. I don't care how popular it is or isn't. It still exists, and it's working, and no one can come
KYC.
And shut it down.
They don't need KYC.
And no KYC is necessary.
And that really is one of the newest revolutions in privacy technology and individual empowerment, is that we can create technologies that not only are difficult to or aren't supposed to be censored or controlled by government entities, but literally cannot be.
Right. And that's the way everything has to go with cryptocurrency. Listen up, people. If you are the CEO, CFO, CTO, whatever, sole proprietor of any sort of a cryptocurrency company, with the exception of maybe like consulting, right? If you are providing a web-based product or service, the only way for you to go is decentralized.
Mm-hmm.
Right? A government at some point is going to come for you.
If especially the United States.
Yeah, particularly the United States. There might be some countries that, I think Venezuela is one of them. There's a couple other places where cryptocurrency is sort of sanctioned, if you will, by the government. But that in no way means it's decentralized or autonomous, right? So the things that make cryptocurrency, these ingredients, are also the ingredients that need to be baked into any sort of an exchange service, any sort of a cryptocurrency service. Just for the nature of it, mm-hmm. because governments still exist. Cryptocurrency exists in defiance without permission of governments, and governments don't like that. So as long as it continues on, governments are going to persecute it for the rest of the, mm-hmm. the time that governments exist.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's what we were talking about, is the SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission. They got a bunch of cases out there right now. They're going after everybody in the cryptocurrency industry that they possibly can, including some of the biggest players like Coinbase and Binance, who are the two of the largest exchanges out there. Binance, the number one global exchange, Coinbase, the number one domestic exchange, and those are the two sort of prominent cases that are just beginning, but there are two cases that are just wrapping out. And we did mention on Thursday, it was right at the end of the show, so I didn't have a lot of a chance to really talk about it, but the library case is something that's near and dear to our hearts because we've been working with the library software for many years here on Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live was one of the first media organizations that was approached by the library folks back in the day, and they said, we think you're going to like this. Would you like to come, on board here? There's this cool YouTube ingestion thing that they had, and we did, and I'm really happy with being there. Library is a protocol, first and foremost, that allows people to upload different media to the internet. It is decentralized. It is a protocol, which means that it is just simply code. It's just open source code that exists out there for people to use, which means you could take the library code and you could roll up your own client if you're a programmer. You can make your own client. And that's kind of what they did with Odyssey, which is where I mentioned that you guys are going to be on later tonight over Beard Talk Live, 10:30 Eastern Time. You can go to watch.freetalklive.com. We're there right now during our radio show as well. And Odyssey is a platform that was built using the library protocol. It's more than that. They do some centralized server stuff where they host on content delivery networks and things like that. So it's not purely Odyssey isn't purely decentralized as a platform,
right.
But it has at its guts, it has the library code in there. It uses library as its backup mechanism if their CDNs fail, which are delivery networks. And so there was a question because Odyssey had sort of been born from Library. Library, the corporation, sort of gave birth to this other entity that then broke away at one point, and so the SEC was saying, we want to kill that too, essentially.
Right.
We want to take down Odyssey, and they were asking the judge for permission to do that. So if there's any kind of good news out of the library ruling, it is that Odyssey is not going to be touched by the extraction or whatever you want to call it, the destruction procedure against Library. So they're not going to be under the permanent injunction, I think was the terminology that was used. So Library as a corporation, which of course we know is just a file folder, it's just a government paperwork, right?
Right.
Library, any of its affiliates, any of its employees, which it has none at this point, any of its board members, any of anybody connected with library in some way, its assigns, its agents, its there's all these legal terms, right?
Right.
They're all given this permanent injunction that they're not allowed to violate the securities law, and the judge essentially found that library had violated the securities law by all these stupid things. We talked to Jeremy Kaufman about it. They even said, Jeremy told us, that they even, the SEC, even considers giving away the library credits, which are their digital token, that's their cryptocurrency, LBC, the library credits, giving them away was a violation of the securities law. They said that was the sale, the unregistered sale of securities, giving someone something for free.
Yeah. Which, so a lot of this all has to do with the Howey test. Mm-hmm. And the first element of the Howey test is an investment of money.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow, an investment of no money counts as an investment of money.
Yep. And the judge ruled in favor of the SEC on that question.
It's utterly baffling.
Yeah.
No, it's not baffling at all if you realize that government is just there to benefit themselves and not you. If you realize that, none of this is surprising.
Right.
Yeah, it's disappointing. They're there
to protect the consumer, Captain.
No, they're not.
That's what they say.
Well, what's baffling is that they're willing to give up this much of their credibility as a real court system. I mean, when you start going after people regardless of the definition of your own words,
mm-hmm. right?
I mean, you give up the very credibility that is why they can manage this.
Well, they've lost credibility in my eyes a long time ago. But.
Yeah, in your eyes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. The thing that makes a government different. So the reason that, the Wagner Group or whatever doesn't just go out and start going, hey, why don't we just extract taxes from wherever or whoever? The reason that they can't do that, it's too expensive. You have to pay all of these people for all of that brutality, all of the time, way more than you're going to get extracting money from people.
Right.
But if there is that credibility, if people believe that justice is coming from its courts, if people believe that they're being protected by these police, then they will help this occur rather than getting in the way of it or at least slowing it down.
So what makes the common folk, the regular people, the non-libertarians, what makes them believe that? What makes them believe that the justice system is doing justice? What makes them believe that the police system is there to protect, well, them? What makes them believe that the SEC is there to protect consumers?
Well, the starting point is the education system.
Okay, what else?
The media that continues to tell them how important it is to have these police here and what
TV
happens if you don't have
and film.
Mm.
I specifically point to the rise of what I like to call cop shows.
Mm.
And there's even shows that on the surface aren't advertised as cop shows. But they are.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to remember the name of it. It was an obscure sci-fi thing. It was produced in Canada, but it was on like the UPN network or whatever the station is. And so it was like, oh, this lady from the future has to, you know, chase some sort of future criminal back into the past, right? And so she gets to the past, and she ends up buddying up with, like, a cop, and then becomes part of the cop force, and then now she's where, and now it's just another cop show.
Oh, the one with the, like, invisible super suit thing?
That's the one. Yeah. I can't remember the name. Quantum something?
I can't remember the name either. It'll come to
me. And so that was, like, the first show that I was like, this is blatant copvertising.
Copaganda. Right?
Copaganda. I'm like, this is blatant copaganda. Even though I'm a sci-fi guy, I love science fiction stuff, it had sci-fi elements and all that stuff, and so I kept watching it, but it blatantly became a buddy cop show.
Right.
And then I started looking at other shows that I watch regularly or have watched regularly, and I'm able to go, oh, here we go again, it's becoming a cop drama. If it's not becoming a cop drama, it's becoming a court drama. Right? I can point to almost zero shows that have gone on for more than a couple of seasons that haven't at some point, talking dramas or sci-fi or whatever, that haven't at some point become a court show, a procedural, if you will.
Continuum.
Continuum, yes. Thank you. Continuum was the name of that show. So, to me, Hollywood is just as guilty as the government for producing these propaganda shows.
Sure they are.
Yeah, what amazes me is how almost universal the propaganda is in superhero shows.
Yeah.
Like, always a matter of, like, whether it's, like, a nice, happy one like The Flash or a darker one like Arrow, either way, we always end up with, oh, well, we've got to buddy up with the cops,
right.
And, you know, the cops want to do this, but that would be illegal, so we'll just do it for them.
Yeah, no,
and we've
got to
buddy up with these secret government military programs. That's where the real good guys are.
If superheroes did actually exist in reality, in our reality, in our real world, the first thing that would happen is they would all be rounded up.
Right.
They would be persecuted.
That happened, actually.
Worse than the Jews.
Yeah, I don't know if it was Portland or Seattle, but one of those two cities, they actually had the real-life superheroes.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the guy's name in Seattle.
Yeah, he wore like a black and yellow outfit, and he had like a custom-made.
He would literally go
Phoenix Jones.
Phoenix Jones, yes. He would literally go out on the street and patrol for like street fights or like purse snatchings or pickpockets
and
or whatever.
And they did target him.
Yeah, they totally did.
Police did come after him.
Yeah.
Because he would make him look bad, right? Like, if there was really, like, a superhero, quote-unquote, or a vigilante or whatever, who was going out there and actually busting real bad guys, actually stopping violent crimes in progress, he's going to make the cops look bad because they don't do that stuff in a lot of cases.
Did you guys hear that Marvel, because now they've been bought by Disney, has canceled The Punisher?
Yes. Yeah, actually, we talked about that with Mark a couple weeks
okay,
ago.
Okay, good. I figured Mark would be all over because he's a Marvel fan. But, like, that is, like, first of all, you'll see the Punisher logo on, like, the back of cop cars personal vehicles or even on their uniform sometimes or on their phone or something like that. So the cops themselves fancy themselves as vigilantes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's bizarre is how often you see it paired up with the thin blue line.
Yeah.
Sure. Like, those are opposites.
Yeah. So I wonder how the law enforcement section of society feels about the punishment the Punisher being canceled, because that's like their hero, right? You know, they like to put him on all their stuff. So, like, how did they get away with canceling this guy when that's like the police mascot, the Marvel police mascot, right? Now, if you read The Punisher at all or pay any attention to the story, you realize that it's a guy who's a former military guy. He's jilted, right? And he goes on a vigilante spree because he's like, well, the government isn't doing anything, so I'm going to take matters into my own hands, right? And so for the cops to look up to that is disturbing in and of itself, right? For that to be their sort of hero, the thing they look up to.
Their fantasy.
Yeah, their fantasy. It's like, that's not what you are, guys. You are a gang, right?
Right.
If there's any police listening, you are a gang. You wear your colors just because your colors happen to be, you know, the same matching suit that your buddy puts on when you go to work every day. Doesn't make you any less of a gang. That's all you're, all you are is a gang.
Yeah, such a blatant gang that they put their gang colors on their own vehicles.
Right.
Sure do. Thin blue line stickers. Let's continue. Want to talk more. We haven't even really gotten into the Ripple story.
Right.
That's the bigger news this week. The library case is now dead. It's over. We'll wrap that one out, and then we'll get into what the Ripple case is all about. Similar decisions between the two, why the Ripple case matters. You know, we can talk about all this. Coming up here, the number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. If you want to weigh in, you can join the show. You can bring up whatever's on your mind here as well on the live Saturday edition. This is Free Talk Live.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. More than 80 million Americans are sweltering under heat alerts and advisories from Miami to Palm Springs, while one of the world's hottest spots, Death Valley, California, is flirting with 130 degrees this weekend. Police in Georgia were searching for a man they say is responsible for four shooting deaths in an Atlanta suburb on Saturday. Police identified the man as Andre Longmore, and a $10,000 reward is being offered. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is doing well after being rushed to a hospital with dehydration on Saturday. The Prime Minister's office says initial results came back normal, and he's undergoing additional routine tests. The Biden administration is forgiving $39 billion in student debt for over 800,000 borrowers. The Education Department says it will notify eligible borrowers in the coming days. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535. Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. You can join the show here, Black Saturday episode. The number is 603-283-6160 if you want to get on the air on broadcast radio online as well. We are live streamed and we are podcast. You can follow our podcast over at feeds.freetalklive.com. And there are different feeds there for you to connect with. Also links to some of the major podcast platforms out there like iHeartMedia and what's the other one? Stitcher, I think? No, Stitcher the one shutting down. One of them shutting down. I'm sorry, I forget which one it is.
Yeah, I don't
but
know.
All those biggies, we got links to them over there as well. And I want to say thanks to Dash. Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash. We were just talking about the idea of the decentralized autonomous organization. And Dash is a cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending, but they were the first to do the decentralized autonomous organization.
They're the first DAO?
I don't even know if it was called a decentralized autonomous organization back when they did it, because they were the first ones.
Wow.
I think that terminology came a little bit later.
I knew that they claimed to be the first, but I didn't know that, like,
they absolutely were.
Okay.
Yeah, there was nothing like the Dash was one of the first cryptocurrencies.
I remember that.
So, like,
yeah,
it was Bitcoin. And Litecoin came from Bitcoin. Litecoin was the first alternative to Bitcoin. And Dash was forked the Litecoin code. And so that's where Dash came from.
Dash came before Doge.
I don't have the list in front of me of what came out when right okay. now. Dash was like in the first 11 or 12, I think, cryptocurrencies. Okay. So it was very, very early on. And it's widely available on exchanges. It's, you know, it's been around. It's in multi-crypto wallets. But the thing they did was they set up their organization very differently. Bitcoin, when it's mined, for instance, into existence, you know, every 10 minutes there's a new Bitcoin block mined. 100% of the mining rewards go to the miner that found the block, that secured that block. In Dash, it's 45% goes to the miner, 45% goes to their masternode system, which performs different tasks for the network, like their chain locks technology that protects them from 51% attacks. But also 10%, the remaining 10%, goes into a treasury. And then anybody that has one Dash to put forward, it actually used to cost five Dash, but they lowered it because somebody made a proposal that said that they should lower it to one, and the masternodes vote on these proposals every month. Right. There's a certain voting period, and the masternodes vet the, you know, they're going to ask tough questions in a lot of cases, and they vet the proposals, and then they vote on which ones move forward and which ones don't, and then they get funded automatically by that treasury. That is their decentralized autonomous organization, and it's worked very, very well to help Dash improve and promote itself over the years. In fact, that's how we got this sponsorship. So big thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. You can visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. Again, that is Dash.org. So we were talking about the big cryptocurrency-related rulings here on the show, and that is in regards to the SEC versus Library and the SEC versus Ripple. And I made a few notes about the Library case, and we'll get into the Ripple case here. But the Library case, Library is done for as a corporation. They have to disband. There's basically no one left anyway because they have no more money after fighting this case.
Right.
They don't have enough money to appeal the case, so it is dead in the water at this point. Unfortunately, that is where that one's going to end.
Land of the free, if you can afford it.
Yeah. Yeah. And now, on top of this, they have to pay $111,000 to the SEC. I don't know if they have that stashed away somewhere. I suspect they don't. Punitive, you know, punishments, fines, things like that.
Well, freedom isn't free, Captain. Yeah.
That's considered one of the lower tiers of fines. So, like, it could be $1 million, right? It could be more than that, right? So, $111,000, they're supposed to feel like they got off easy on that.
I think I would just turn the switch off and, you know, tell them to pound sand.
Yeah, well, how do you get blood from a stone?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't
like
think
you're already out of money, so, right. Like, what
well,
are
they
going
to do? They're being told they have to, well, they've agreed to get rid of all of their library credits. Sure. So they had millions of the library credits, the LBC, that they that was from which they were giving away,
yeah.
Right? They also were selling some of them. But they have to essentially destroy those, so they can't turn that into dollars and then use that to pay off the SEC. So, yeah, I don't know if they have $100,000 just sitting around.
Or a dollar for that.
Yeah, I don't know if they do. And I don't know what happens to you if you are an organization that cannot pay. If you've been bankrupted by, and you have no assets, basically.
Yeah, they got off light. Whereas, say, Bank of America, who was making new accounts and mm-hmm. new credit cards for a tremendous number of their own customers,
yep.
They paid $250 million, was it?
That's recent news, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I got to say, wow. Wow.
Chump change for those
just
guys.
Just chump change. Yeah. I mean, if you, like, it's just a tiny fraction of the enormous amount of money they made from breaking those laws.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to talk about, you should feel good about the slap on the wrist, not when your entire company's been destroyed.
No, it's terrible.
This is an underpublicized strategy, method, if you will, that government uses, which is, you could be completely 100% in the right to the T.
They were.
Cross the I's, dot the T's, whatever it is. 100% in the right. You did all the right things in the eyes of the letter of the law, right? But if you go bankrupt trying to prove it to them in court, they still win.
They win.
And so this is an under...
It costs nothing to them.
It costs nothing for... Well, I mean, the government, of course, just steals more money from people to keep themselves afloat. Right, exactly.
Well, they'll print it.
But if you're somebody who is being attacked by government, and they're saying all sorts of things about you and forcing you to go prove yourself, you know, quote, court of law, unquote, all they got to do is drag that thing out until you're broke, and then they win.
and this has been going on for years. Same thing's true of the Ripple ruling. One other point about Library, though, is they so they're done for as a company. Now, again, we don't know what's going to happen to the software in the future. It's open source, so Technically anybody can pick this up and start developing it. Maybe a decentralized autonomous organization. We'll find out, I guess, over time. So it is not the end of the story for Library. That hopefully will continue on into the future, but the company itself, the CEO and all that, yeah. That part is done for. The thing is, the judge didn't rule on whether or not Library is a security. Which is a strange thing to say when the judge also ruled that they're guilty of selling unregistered securities.
Right, yeah.
And I was
I don't know if that is a security, but you definitely sold securities.
It's like, let's replace that with something normal, right? Like, you're convicted of selling unregistered used cars.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not sure that what you're selling was a car.
Right. Yeah, it's that absurd. And the judge ruled specifically that holding or purchasing Library credits, LBC, for quote-unquote consumptive purposes is okay. So if you, because this was one of the big questions, was if you had gone on a cryptocurrency exchange and you had purchased Library credits and put them in your own wallet, was that a crime? Did the exchange sell you a security? Was that an unregistered security that the exchange, was that a deal with a security that is going to put the exchanges in jeopardy? The customers potentially, you know, could have to for, I don't know. Yeah. But there could be some consequences from that. No, apparently that's okay. So it was only a security when the Library Corporation sold it in order to fund the things that it was doing, as I understand it. And I think the Ripple case has a similar ruling, which we'll get into coming up here in a moment. And the final thing is that they, so it's okay to buy it purportedly from other people. It's okay to buy it as long as they're not Library Corporation employees. And it's okay to buy it supposedly from exchanges. Mm-hmm. And therefore, it should be okay to sell it. This isn't legal advice. It might be okay to sell it to your friends, you know, as long as you don't make promises about what it's going to do. So there's like this weird dichotomous ruling here where it's like it's a security when they want it to be a security and it's not a security when it's not a security.
How convenient.
Even though it's the same exact thing. It is a cryptocurrency token.
I've got it. I figured it out. It's like when you try and sell oregano as pot. So it wasn't like you are guilty of possession even though it wasn't pot.
You're guilty of sales of marijuana even though it wasn't pot.
Right. So this wasn't a security necessarily.
It was purported.
You definitely sold securities.
Purported securities.
Right.
That's a good analogy.
Yeah, there we go.
It just goes to further prove that government has no concept of what they're dealing with. Cryptocurrency and all of the things that have sprouted out of that, NFTs, ordinals, bureaucratic improvements, right? The ability to keep far more accurate and permanent records than any government has ever been able to do. All of these things combined are just a hair, a tiny fraction, the tip of the iceberg, if you will, of what this technology can do. And government obviously doesn't understand that. If they did, they would treat it like the brand new invention that it is and try and figure it out as a brand new invention. It'd be like trying to legislate airplanes based on horse and buggy law.
Right. Yeah, basically. That's what they're doing.
Very much so. Yeah, it's like, well, so we have this rule about horse grooming, and we've just decided that since you didn't wash your car, you didn't groom your horse properly.
That's right.
Because the pilot didn't take a shower today, right, you're guilty of not grooming your horse.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to go to the phones here. We have Skeeter on the line in California. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Skeeter.
Hey, I called in to disagree with the bald guy about government needing the media for
his name is Captain Kickass.
Captain Kickass?
Yeah, that's right. You do listen to the show, right?
I just forgot his name. I just remember him telling me to call him Sean.
You know, we do introductions all the time on this program. But anyway, what were you calling about specifically?
Yeah, I wanted to disagree with him on the fact that government needs the media for propaganda to convince the public that it needs it.
Oh, I don't know that they need them, but they certainly do
use
them.
It helps a lot.
Right? It certainly is a continuation of all of the propagandization that they begin in the public schools.
Absolutely, because the people who graduate from those government schools They go on to the government colleges, where they're further indoctrinated into pro-government mindset, and those people get so-called journalism degrees, and then they go into the media. So it's a total government propaganda pipeline.
Now, I'll take that position, definitely, that they honestly could not do what they do without it.
No, I don't think those are the major things that convince the public that it needs it.
Okay, well, other than media, what are the things that you think convince the public?
Remember, Ian, I called in Thursday. I made the claim that U.S. citizens get a lot more than they pay for at the moment than they pay in taxes.
You did make that claim.
Yeah,
That doesn't answer the question, though. You didn't defend it or make a good point about it, but you made the claim.
I'm going to get into it. I'm just refreshing your memory because I'm going to get into it. But, cool. Yeah, that alone will overcome any taxation is theft argument that you can throw at them. But, okay.
I'm so glad you live in California. You are just perfect for California.
It's true.
Yeah, you sound like a California guy.
Indoctrinated by
the California government to believe that government actually provides all these wonderful services to people.
And more than you're actually paying for it? Wow.
Yeah. I can show it, too.
Sure, well, you can, bro. He might be technically correct because the government actually, when they tax you, that money from the federal level actually goes primarily to cover the interest on the loans they take from the Federal Reserve.
Which is now, by the way, coming close to $1 trillion a year in interest payments to the Federal Reserve.
And so the federal government, by way of borrowing from the Federal Reserve, borrows far more money than they actually inflict on the taxpayers as taxation. So yeah, in that way, he is technically correct.
All right, so let's move through your points, though, Steve.
So the thing is that there's literally only one way to conclusively prove that people are getting enough for them to pay for this, and that's to give them the option not to pay for it.
Ooh, yeah, but I've never been given that option.
Right, no one's ever been given that option, and we never will.
That's the hallmark of a crappy organization that has to force you to pay for its services. If indeed they were so valuable, people would be clamoring to hand over even more than what the government was demanding. Mm-hmm. If it was so wonderful, then people would regularly write checks to the IRS that were higher than what they were, quote-unquote, owing to them. Now, have you done that, Skeeter? When you pay, do you actually pay higher because you truly believe that it's really worth more?
No. Again, I'm an accelerationist, so I try to decrease the revenue. But, I mean, so there's some...
Well, now, wait, if you're an accelerationist, wouldn't giving them more revenue allow them to do more evil things and therefore crash the government sooner?
You have to understand when the budget plan, the funding and spending are two separate actions, right?
Okay, so what you are saying is you don't actually believe that government provides a better service than what you pay for.
I do at the moment.
You believe that, but you don't really believe it because you won't actually pay more for it.
No, I want to hurt them fiscally because that's their weakness.
Well, now hold on. Let's before you get into that and your ultimate goals and all of that, please respond to this exact point. So, like, if you believe that you're getting $1.10 or $1.01 or whatever out of every dollar that the government gets, then why on earth would you not want to give them an extra dollar?
It's more like 10 to 1.
Wow. So even more so, if you're getting $10 worth of services for every $1, then why don't you pay more than they ask of you, as they put it?
Because that doesn't affect the spending. Those are I have to say it again.
All right. So the reason you don't overpay is because you don't believe that they would spend more if they got more money.
Yeah. So it does.
How old are you? Are you like 12?
What does that matter?
It sounds like you haven't been around very long. If you don't think that if you gave the government more money that they would not spend it all?
I just want to like hurt their budget. So again, like,
Hold on. How different how separate are these? So like, if say California, for some reason or another, got twice as much money coming in, you don't think that would change their spending at all?
So here's the argument: it may increase, but it's a wash. So it doesn't. So by giving, so it's a wash, right? So if I give them the extra dollar, they're just going to spend that extra dollar.
Mm-hmm.
That's a wash. It doesn't hurt them.
But they wouldn't spend the $10 that you think you're getting in services.
Cutting me off.
It doesn't affect their deficit by that way. So if I give them a dollar, they spend an extra dollar. It doesn't affect their deficit, right? I want to hurt their deficit.
So then, therefore, you don't pay taxes at all because that would truly hurt them.
No. No. So, again, accelerationism isn't a principle. So I'll sacrifice.
That's right. You
that.
Have no principles whatsoever. You've already admitted that. You're a utilitarian.
Why do you straw man again?
No, you've described yourself as a utilitarian.
Yeah, and you know what? They have principles.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do.
No, utilitarian is somebody who will do whatever it takes to achieve whatever goal it is that they think is important.
No. Well, I'm a different type of utilitarian. But a classical utilitarian's principle is the greatest happiness for the greatest number of people.
That's not a principle. That is just your particular perspective. You have an opinion about what is the greatest happiness for the greatest number of people. It may have no resemblance to my opinion about what would be the greatest happiness for the greatest number of people. But the difference is, I'm not willing to go and engage in violence and threatening violence against people, peaceful people in order to achieve my grand visions, but a utilitarian like yourself absolutely is.
I'm not a classical utilitarian.
I don't care what you are.
Well, you don't even know my principles, so how can you criticize them?
You have no principles. Let's get around back to your other point about you were going to give us a list of things why the government doesn't really need the media to propagandize people. And the first thing you gave on the list was that they're just so great at spending money. And what's item number two?
Come on. Stop traumatizing you, dude.
That was what you said. You said it was a 10-to-1 ratio, that for every dollar that the government takes in taxes, they'd give 10 times the benefits.
No, not the benefits. They just spend that much. So, you know, we don't get that much actually in profit, but...
you get nothing. They tax you.
No, so first off, the 10 times comes from the unfunded liability. So on balance sheet, right, you see that they borrow as much as they tax, right? So it's pretty much like half of the spending.
Yeah, they borrow more, which is why they have deficits.
No, I think it's pretty close to 1-to-1 what they tax and what they borrow on balance sheet. But what you don't see is the unfunded liabilities, all those people that earn health benefits.
So what you were saying when you said it was 10-to-1, you weren't saying you got 10 times the service for the dollar. But weren't you saying that they gave you better service than what you paid for? Didn't you say that earlier?
Yeah, that's pretty easy to do. If they spend 10 times what you give them, it's all they have to do is like get 20% efficiency, and you'll
double. So what's item number two on your list of why it is that Americans don't really need the media to propagandize them about government and how great it is?
Because they benefit at the moment, not without respect to the debt. I mean, we benefit from national defense, right? So when
no,
we have a
no,
problem,
no, we don't.
Absolutely not.
Come on.
No. So what falls under the label of national defense has the outcome of causing more people to want to kill me. So since it has
blowback.
Yeah. Since it increases the overall amount of death aimed at me, it actually is the reverse of a defense. Yeah. If they stopped entirely, we would at least stop at this level of people who want to kill me.
Yeah. Imagine actually believing that quote unquote national defense was just simply that. It is the, like you said, it's the opposite. They go around the world bombing and killing innocent people, and that creates terrorism, right? That creates people who want to get revenge because their family just went up in a ball of flames, and so now they have nothing else to live for but going and getting revenge on the great Satan or whoever it was, the U.S. military and the American people and all that. I mean, this is why I asked Skeeter if he's, you know, 12 years old or 17 or something like that, because he seems to have absolutely no world experience. He seems to just live in a complete fantasy land about the government. And thank you for the call tonight. I've had enough of his complaining and whining. Let's go to Tom. He's in New Hampshire. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Tom. Tom? In New Hampshire. Going once.
T is for Tom.
Going twice. Let's try the Major Payne on the line in Michigan. Go ahead, Major.
But,
hey, guys. Yeah, they're still messing with you on your phone lines. I had to call and hang up right quick and call back and do that at least 5-6 times just to get through.
Huh.
Last night,
what can you do?
And I just got a new phone, and this thing's got 5G capability, so I'm thinking they're messing with me through another tower.
You do sound better, though.
The listen line numbers you gave me the other night?
Yeah, he does sound
only
better.
Only one of them kind of functioned. Unless I wrote something down wrong, but I don't think I did.
Maybe it's just because you live way out there in Michigan or something. That could be it.
No. Dude, I used to be able to get a hold of you on a cheaper phone than I got now. And now when I call up the listen line.
I just got through the first time I tried it. So it just, you know, your mileage may vary, I guess.
You know what they say, Major. They don't make them like they used to.
They come on with a recording that says that this number is no longer, you know, out of service or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I'll have to look into that later. What were you calling about tonight?
Just the damn phones. I was surprised I got through to you.
Seriously?
So you were calling in about calling in. Okay.
I mean, that is a topic.
It technically counts.
I know one of the largest complaints on Beard Talk Live is that when people call in or on hold, they hear
the shows
of the show.
Yeah.
And so we have to explain that to new callers. Constantly. It's become a joke now,
right?
During the Beer Talk Live show, we're like, oh, yeah, that again. Okay.
Yeah, I'd have to really think about how to... I don't even know if we can easily make that change.
Unless we had a bunch of money thrown at us by some sort of a sponsor or something, it would be difficult to do, which is, of course, what we tell people. If you are a fan of Beard Talk Live, go buy a shirt. Go on Amazon, type in Beard Talk Live, buy a shirt to help us out, because we have no budget. And we literally borrow this studio to do our show.
Thank you, Major, for the call tonight. Let's talk to Ricky in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Go ahead, Ricky.
Thank you there, Brother Ian, Brother Captain. Pequot's Mountaineer, good evening.
Evening.
What's on your mind?
Well, I'm going to get in my topic a brief second, but I heard Major Payne call, and this is the third time he called in for his phone issues. But I got a tip for him. Did you listen to Major? Listen to Ricky from the Commonwealth. I've been using this number for 6 months. Dial 151-893-11137.
What is that?
That's
when I... That's too many numbers.
That's a listen line.
It's like a secret listen line that I don't even know about?
What it is I called it early on. You gave me a couple numbers. One of them I hit. For new and improved service, hit this one. I dialed that one.
They gave you a fresh number. I see. Yeah, that sometimes happens where these listen lines, for listeners that don't know, they're phone numbers you dial, and you can listen over the phone. It's like the worst possible way. Hang on, Ricky. I know you had something else to say. It's the worst possible way to listen to the show, because obviously it's the lowest quality. It's just a phone call. But they're constantly, like, changing their systems or whatever for whatever reason, and we don't pay them for the service. They actually make money off of some weird long distance. Distance quirk. I'm not sure what it is. They get paid per minute through the long distance company, I think is how that works. Anyway, there's more coming up here. It's Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.